Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jason Benetti. So spoiler-free answer here, Jason Benetti. You are a fan of good writing, of good television, of good art and entertainment. I'm curious what you think was just accomplished by Jesse Armstrong, the creator and the writing team of Succession.
A phenomenal show. I think Jeremy Strong is great, and I think Sarah Snook is great. And I just, the other part of the conversation I was having with my friend is, I think it would be really funny to have like a Twitter account dedicated to taking the three Roy kids and putting them in Disney movies, like casting them in Disney movies. And the first one I thought of was like Aladdin.
Come with us and enter a whole new world beyond your imagination. Walt Disney Pictures presents Succession.
Kendall as Jafar.
The evil sorcerer Jafar has learned the secret of Aladdin's power.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm the man, but if there were a man, hypothetically, he might look a lot like me.
And Shiv is Jasmine.
It's the story of a poor boy from the streets and a beautiful girl from a palace.
Jasmine! Jasmine!
You're not good enough for me. Yeah, no, I'm way out of your league. But that's why you want me. You love me, even though I don't love you.
Good luck marrying her off!
Imagine a whole new world of excitement, danger, and enchantment.
And then Roman as Iago.
What up? It's me, Dr. Moron. I'm a ding-dong doodle-bug dip. My dad hates all of you.
How was that? Was that good?
Iago, calm down.
That's the biggest pothead thought of all time.
Featuring six new songs from the Academy Award-winning composer of The Little Mermaid.
All bangers all the time.
Coming this holiday season, Walt Disney Pictures Succession.
Yes, I'm in.
Jesus, you're such dopes. You're not serious people.
One, two, three.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Say it here. It's imagined and put into reality there in a Chris Tannehill open. A whole new world. Give me the lamp. Jeremy Strong as Jafar would be absolutely spectacular. I don't think the live action would have done as well, though, as the one with Will Smith as the genie. Thank you for hanging out with us on a potentially transformative day of the Cubs season.
Where's Spinks?
He'll be here. I think he's having some tech issues, Coach. But we've got a situation now where an MRI for Justin Steele is the biggest sports story in Chicago. We will have Bears audio and stuff in just a little bit, but Steele was cruising. Steele has been their best pitcher, though Stroman of late has been brilliant, obviously. I declared two starts ago that Steele was going to definitively start playoff games for this team in the future, and now we're awaiting an MRI result. So it is, he's going to join the team in San Diego after imaging, but there was a lot in that game today, Spiegs. 3-1-run games, still a series win against the best team in baseball. Some questionable umpiring, some bad situational hitting, but faced with the potential reality of no Justin Steele for a short while or a long while is a tough thought for the Cubs as they try to get back in this thing.
It is. This is a litmus test for how optimistic you are when, once you inform yourself on the relationship between forearm tightness and Tommy John surgery. And I've been texting former pitchers, been Googling, and as you and I have talked about many times, Jeff Passan wrote The Arm and put in all those pages and all that time and all those experts and still got to the end and was like, good luck, everybody. So, and that's every response I'm getting from people who've had Tommy John surgery, because forearm tightness does not always mean Tommy John surgery, but it very, very often is a precursor to it. And that's why it's terrifying. And it's like every pitcher who does this for a living has to figure out their own, not just threshold for pain, but their body's threshold for discomfort in the forearm as it relates to whether your ligament is being stretched to the point of being just about to break. It's a, it is the principal mystery of modern baseball science, and we wait for an MRI like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about a litmus test for your own optimism, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple to me. Like,
okay,
if Justin Steele needs Tommy John,
that's but we're not there yet.
No. I mean, wait. So are you saying whether your optimism of whether or not he needs it or not? Because I have no idea. So because sometimes it is just forearm tightness,
right?
And sometimes it's not.
Well, so what do we do with? He felt it before the third inning and expressed it, and they still let him pitch. He was feeling it during that inning, and the trainer and Ross go out there, talk to him, and they let him finish the inning. And he says he still felt fine. Even today in postgame, he says, I felt great today. My stuff was great, blah, blah, blah. And he said that he himself is not concerned. So does he know his own body well enough to know that it's not something to shut down, that it's not something about to pop? I guess that's where I'm talking about litmus test for optimism is between now and tomorrow. Because I'm sure there's a ton of Cub fans out there who are like, yep, forearm means Tommy John, he's done. And I don't know where you are. I myself, I see all those things I just mentioned, and I'm like, boy, it seems like this might be one of those times it's just forearm tightness, because sometimes it just is. Very rarely, but sometimes it just is.
Yeah, I don't like playing doctor on the radio, man. Like, I'm fine to wait for tomorrow.
Where do you like playing doctor, Danny? Where do you like playing doctor? At home or?
You know, in the bedroom. it's the type of thing where there will be nerves for all Cubs fans between now and tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then depending on the result of the news, like, I mean, because David Ross also talked about, like, you know, we got Wisniewski, we've got Assad, like, we've got some guys stretched out that can back him up, even if he has to miss a start or two just on this West Coast trip. You know, that would be a problem for the Cubs. But obviously you would take that in a nanosecond right now for this to be a short-term thing because of how much he matters for the squad. But, I mean, if it's Tommy John surgery, if it's Tommy John surgery, their chances of coming back this year are dramatically shot.
Yeah.
You know, so like,
but it might not be Tommy John. See, I feel you wanting to run to Tommy John, and I get it. And a lot of people are.
Like, I have no idea if it's Tommy John. He might make his next start. I have absolutely no idea. But we also don't know what, like, I feel like he's either fine, missing some time, or missing a lot of time. Right? Those are the three potential outcomes here?
Yes.
So, I mean, If he misses no time, all good. Just a little scare and they were being precautionary. If he misses a little time, you exhale and consider yourself lucky. And if he misses a ton of time, you know, it's devastating short-term and potentially long-term, even though people do come back from that injury. But no, man, I have no idea what this version of this injury for Justin Steele is going to be. They let him go back out there, and they said no one is sending off any alarms, but they very easily could say imaging was bad, we're surprised by it, and it's a tough break for Justin and all of us. Like, that is absolutely on the table for tomorrow.
Yes, it is. So that's why I'd say, like, how do you want to spend, if it's as important as it is, I guess that's why I'm asking, like, how do you want to spend the next 20 hours, Cubs fans? Do you want to, just worry and worry and worry, or assume it's something, or try to read signs and see if it's good? I mean, that's what I was talking about. It's tricky. And it also can be something that lingers and lingers. Jacob DeGrom has been on the injured list for forearm tightness in 2021, and I know it was earlier this year, 2023, and he hasn't had Tommy John over the last 3 years, you know? But, like, every time it happens, he gets shut down, and he misses weeks at a time, and his team gets damaged. So that option would also suck. Absolutely. So it's possible, but we just don't know.
Let's hear from the principal parties involved. Let's hear how Jed Hoyer, I mean, moments after, basically, he just gets the initial news. He joins the marquee broadcast. Let's hear what the top boss had to say about Steele.
Let's start with Justin Steele. What's going on there? As he came out, he retired all nine guys he faced.
Yeah, he looked great today. I think starting kind of early in the game, he felt like he wanted to stretch his forearm a bunch. And so, you know, just being, being cautious about it, we'll find out more what it is. But, yeah, obviously, you know, the way he was pitching, I mean, I felt like some of the swings he was getting today were really bad. The ball, his fastball is really cutting, and it's a shame. But, you know, you got to have pitching depth, and obviously we brought up Hayden to help with that, and hopefully he can provide that for us.
So he uses the word cautious. Now let's hear David Ross after the game, who went fairly in depth on the process.
When he went back out there in the third, I think it was, I got word that he had a little bit of throbbing in the elbow, but we didn't feel it throwing just as he was cooling down. So radar went way up, obviously. Talked to the trainers. They felt comfortable. Then watched him kind of pumping the hand and stretching the forearm a little bit. And went out and checked on him. He said he didn't feel it at all. No tingling, no shot down the arm, anything like that. So I let him finish. And this, the more I watched him throw, the more nervous I got of a guy like that. So just went ahead, precautionary reasons, pulled him. He'll get some imaging tomorrow, and we'll go from there. But I think it's just some forearm tightness, according to the trainers.
When did it first come up? Was that something that came up today?
Like I said, I just gave you the whole story. That's all I've got.
Yeah, I mean, I am totally trying to play doctor on the radio and hoping for the best, you know? It's
excuse me, I didn't realize you had a degree in medicine. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor?
Because as he talked about it, Justin felt good. As Rossi talked about it and Jed talked about it, they lead with caution, which is, of course, the thing to do, and we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, anything that isn't Tommy John surgery is going to be a huge win. That's just all that. That's what it is. Like, you don't love hearing throbbing in the elbow from David Ross, right? That's not good. But then that there wasn't pain. And if it ends up being bad, he'll get heat for sending him back out there to begin with. But one of the things that Passan did right, and we've heard from plenty of people, is like, if it's going to go, it's going to go. Right? You know, like, it's because, like, guys pitch with partial tears all the time. Like, these guys' ligaments are not 100% healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of, like throwing a baseball that often at that velocity is not a natural act for the human body. So partial tear of the ulnar collateral ligament is a thing that a huge number of pitchers have already. Guys get signed to nine-figure contracts with partial tears of the UCL. So,
and they pitch through it all the time. And yeah. And he doesn't He was a two-way player in high school who became primarily a pitcher once in the bigs, and to my knowledge has never had it before. So a lot of times guys get to this point in their life and their age and have had it once before. He has not. So that maybe that's even more of a reason to be concerned. So, you know, there are options. At some point, you know, they'll do the imaging and we'll find out. And until then, we hear Justin. He sounded good. He sounded non-concerned. And maybe he's wrong. Or maybe he knows his body better than anybody.
Well, that's the thing. You can be wrong. You can be shocked by it. And he could feel fine now, but then as soon as he fires up his arm again, it comes back. But the MRI is going to say one way or the other of whether or not it's going to happen. I will say I'll be floored if he makes a start in 5 days. I will be very surprised if that happens.
Yeah. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. I can't imagine he's not going to get shut down.
Right, like an IL stint, inflammation.
Yeah.
You know, give him a breather. You know, that Jed talked about pitching depth. Ross talked about Assad and Wesneski. Like, I will be very, very surprised if he gets the ball 5 days from now.
So we're dealing either with a drag or a disaster, you know? So it's a fairly wide range.
Yes. It's a wide range of outcomes. And they 3 one-run games.
Crazy, crazy series.
Take 2 of 3 from the best team in baseball. Long West Coast road trip coming up. Some more individual signs of progress, optimism, right? Like Hayden Wesneski today. That's great. We talked about that they needed to do it. Desperation move for the bullpen. Put the best arms in the organization out there. Figure out a role. Him as a stretched out long man who can maybe be first guy out of the pen twice a time through the rotation for whenever fill-in-the-blank starter either gets hurt or doesn't quite have it. That's a valuable thing.
Yeah, to have made a pivot in this, his first chance of the year to be in relief and look the way he did against a very good team is an excellent thing. Mark Leiter Jr. giving it up not once but twice is a bad thing. And he is one of the guys who had not given it up.
He's the only guy who had not given it up.
Pretty much.
I think exactly, right? I mean, isn't he the only guy that's like unblemished in the bullpen? I mean, Alzolay's been very good overall, but he's had some moments. I mean, yeah, they don't have enough, man. They do not have enough arms right now. But like you've always said, like you can fix it on the fly. So maybe the bullpen looks completely different in 3 or 4 weeks. It's just where are they in the standings in 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, it did last night. And then today, it's so weird. The Rays are such a good offense, but their defense was trash in this series. They can run, they can hit, but their defense was trash. And the Cubs should have swept this thing after coming off getting swept by the Reds.
Well, it's tough, though, because like they were saying when they were on the wrong end of one-run games, they're like, over the course of the year, we expect to be about 500 in one-run games. Like, they could have lost the games that they won. They could have won the game that they lost. Like, that's the nature of playing such a close baseball game. Boog said recently, I don't know if he said it with us or if he said it on the broadcast. I don't remember. But he said that he doesn't think that we're going to have robot umps in the next decade. But that he does think we're going to have a challenge system for balls and strikes. I think it was during a game broadcast, like on Friday or Saturday night when I was watching. Mm-hmm. They were talking about it.
Yeah, we've seen the challenge system in the minors, and it's pretty interesting. I kind of like the challenge system.
Yeah, and you could do it instantly. Right, because we know, like, we see it on Marquee and NBC Sports Chicago and all the game broadcasts. Like, they just would use that pitch strike zone data. Today, that would have changed the game entirely. Would have completely changed the game. Like, Hap
you
walks. Challenge it
mm-hmm.
when there's runners on, what, second and third, and he strikes out on ball four. That was a terrible call. It was a ball the whole way. Saya early in the game, terrible strike three call. He should have taken a walk in that spot. And when you have that sort of thing, I wonder if it'd be interesting to talk to hitters about it who have either been in the challenge system or we'll see once it actually gets here. Like, the prevailing wisdom is, oh, it's a 3-2 count. That's too close to take. But I wonder if more guys would take if they know that, no, I'm pretty sure that's 2 inches off the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But a human being, it's too close to leave to a human being. But to a computer, it's not too close to leave. Guys in the ninth inning when the bases were loaded with one out.
Right.
Multiple swings.
Mastroboni. Yes. Mastroboni swings at ball four, and you understand protecting because you don't want to just let that come and be a called strike three. But if he knew he had the computer back up, would he be more likely to take? Probably.
Probably, right? Like, that adage would go away. Like, too close to take would probably go away in a world where you have a challenge system. And for sure, Hap gets on in the eighth inning with a challenge system because that was clearly a couple inches off the plate. And this isn't like the Cubs lost the game and didn't sweep the Rays because of bad umpiring, but I didn't think the strike zone was very good today. And it was an interesting thing to think about of if we lived in a world where the technology is there, you had three challenges a game, five challenges a game, whatever they would end up settling on, I think you could make a very plausible argument that the outcome of this baseball game that we all just watched would have been different if a rule change that's maybe a year or two away from coming would have been here already.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible, and I hope that's the way that they go. By the way, Justin Steele did have Tommy John surgery in 2017 in the minors, so I'm wrong about that. And what does that do to our acceptance level of that guy knowing his body, of that guy knowing his body and not thinking that it's coming? I don't think it's going to be TJ. I'll go out there and say it. I feel like there was an abundance of caution from Ross as an extension of Jed. And the fact that even the trainer goes out there and they're talking to him and they let him throw and finish the freaking inning. And then the way Steele was after, I don't think this is TJ. Now, your decision how to spend your next 20 hours, one texter says drinking. They're going to spend it drinking, which is a thoroughly acceptable way to spend one's time, regardless, obviously, as long as you're not getting on the road. But as a Cub fan, I mean, that's fine. But am I hope trafficking with myself? It's possible, Danny. It's possible.
Well, I mean, you follow the leader, right? And you follow the guidance of what they're saying. And they're saying alarm bells aren't going off.
They're saying alarm bells aren't going off, that he himself as a pitcher is not concerned, says he felt great all day. He's out there shaking his arm around and knowing that that's going to like cause them to be like, he's shaking his arm. That seems to be hurting after he just told us to hurt. But he still wants to stay in and convinces them to stay in. Like all things considered, I feel like it's as optimistic as you could be at the forearm tightness diagnosis.
What benefit would there be for them to say, yeah, we're concerned? Of course they're going to say they're not concerned. I feel like hope trafficking is the perfect way to put what you're doing here. We were just talking about this yesterday, right? Like, you struggling with Cubs optimism for the rest of the season. This is you struggling to find Cubs optimism. Guys, he's probably going to get Tommy John.
Oh, thanks, Shane.
There's
thanks,
like,
buddy.
There's like 99% of the time a pitcher comes forward and says, my elbow hurts, my forearm's tight. Oh, no way, dude. You know what that means, right? It's not a cold sore.
It's true. One of the pitchers I was texting with was like, yeah, you know, everyone knows their own body and it's all individual, but it's never good. It's like, okay, all right.
It's never good.
That's the best we got, is that it's never good.
And even if it's not Tommy John, look at what happened to David Price with both the Red Sox and the Dodgers when he started feeling forearm tightness. And they were like, no, you don't need this, man. You don't need this. And they put it off for like 2 years, and he didn't pitch in 2 years. Just get it over
decayed.
With. They're going to win 71 games this year anyway, if that.
Which is underneath the floor.
Yeah, that's in the basement. That's a garden unit season.
That's what this is really all about.
You tried to keep his
the possibility of the floor just totally collapsing from underneath.
Oh yeah, Tanny, it's been a dark time. It's definitely been a dark period.
We're just saying you don't have to pretend with us. You can pretend with everyone else if you want, but you don't have to pretend here.
What am I pretending?
You're pretending that this isn't the worst possible case scenario.
Well, but that is a level of just accepted cynicism that doesn't work well. For me and for lots of other people. Just physically and psychologically, I can't go there with you. If I get that tomorrow, then it's Tommy John, then I'll deal with it. I can't just accept saying, okay, this probably means that.
Let's do it this way. Let's say you're super hungover one day. You got a big party at night. You don't want to feel hungover. You can manifest the positivity of that hangover going away because half of that's mental. You can't manifest the likelihood of ligament damage going away. It's either damaged or it's not. And when it's damaged, you feel tightness in your forearm.
Well, it's one of the things that you feel. But this guy has had it before and knows his body and said he actually felt pretty good.
Okay. You know? I want nothing but the best for Justin Steele, but it feels so stupid to sit here and just say, oh, no, it's probably fine. Because that's my team. If it's someone else's team, it's Tommy John. This is my guy.
Let me ask you a question. What if it was Dylan Cease? What if it was Dylan Cease? Where would you be right now?
I would say Dylan Cease is probably going to get the Tommy John surgery.
You think so?
Yes.
You think you would really say that?
We'd be crushed because that means that the Sox probably won't be going to the postseason this year. Oh, my God. What a thought.
Yeah, Speaks, I set my expectation at 92 wins. You forget that for the White Sox.
Yeah, everybody's wrong so far.
There's big piles of wrong in every direction so far. But boy, they played better in this series, huh? Played better for three games.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
In a series win,
you still end up with this
against the best team in baseball.
You still have a soul crushing finish. Yeah.
It's still miserable. it's still miserable. That's your game. And Ohtani just hit another 480-foot home run.
Oh, my God, that dude. It's outrageous. You got to be psyched if you're a White Sox fan and you go to the game and you see Trout and Ohtani.
No. Home.
No? I know your team loses. That's unfortunate.
I just want to see Shohei Ohtani no-hit my team so bad, dude.
Well, hey, you didn't get to see him pitch, but you got to see him hit a bunch of home runs. So that's not bad. That's worth the price of admission. Yeah.
All right, so Shane and I, we need to have a bet on whether this is Tommy John or not, because I don't think it's going to be. We'll check back in tomorrow. Shane,
10 grand.
We hear from some bear. You guys work out the terms of this Tommy John or no Tommy John bet.
Yeah.
We hear from Bears coaches today and play the attendance game on who is or is not practicing with the Bears. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Buddy, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
And those are really our Bear essentials that we talk about.
Another day, another Bears OTA. And as long as no one comes out of these things hurt, it's largely okay. Everything's going to be fine, as Speaks is at the bargaining stage with Justin Steele. Today, though, they played the attendance game. Eddie Jackson, Darnell Mooney, Jalen Johnson, and Nate Davis not in attendance.
I've struggled with this for years. They call it voluntary, but it sure doesn't feel voluntary if your team's actually trying to do anything, especially when it's, you know, it gets a little further in. It's not the first ones where maybe you're finishing up a vacation or something like that. It's tough for me to swallow the absences in the same way that I would have in a year that doesn't mean anything.
Interesting. I feel like when it's not, they are voluntary, right? That's in the collective bargaining agreement.
I know. I've just always struggled with it.
And you take vacation a lot. So, you don't know. I don't know why they would just be finishing up a vacation now. Training camp isn't for a long time.
Dude, weren't you just off for like 2 weeks, Danny?
Me? Yes, I was.
Yeah, didn't you take like a 2-week stretch for a little while?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Thank you. It's been a while.
Just because he was ducking Paul's position.
Yeah, exactly.
Pot meet kettle.
Did you hear Bernstein bragging about how he destroyed Paul's position the other day?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Enraging. Absolutely enraging. He's like proud of himself.
It was, I would say, hilarious.
He took a turn. Took a turn in the corner of the polls position palace. You know what I mean? Left it there for all to see.
I'll never take another 2-week vacation again. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, seriously, that was selfish.
Yeah, my bad, man. My bad.
Where'd you go again?
It's here. I was here.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a terrible staycation.
It was a terrible time in your life.
Alan Williams.
We like to have fun here.
We do. We do like to have fun. I would say, speaks to your point, if it's a new coach, the voluntary stuff is tougher to justify missing. But when it's the same defensive scheme and the same offensive scheme, I think it's not a huge deal.
How about Nate Davis?
Guys have pending contracts, so they don't want to risk getting hurt. I get it. The Nate Davis one is a little interesting, given that he's a new free agent. Like, you just signed a deal, you're with a new team. But again, voluntary. But Jalen Johnson, because of his tenure with the team, his position and all of that, and the contract, is the biggest name, certainly not there. His defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, was asked what's going on.
Can I say no comment? Like, I'm gonna say no comment right now, because I listen to I read. I do. And I do think this. Let me say this. We would love all our guys to be out there, but the way football is right now, and it is optional. And I want the guys to be out there because I do feel that we bring value. I think we have the best coaching staff in the world, the best training staff, the best our strength and conditioning staff. We have the best dietitian. I think we have the best of everything here. So I want guys to be here, but it is voluntary. So with that in mind, any of the players, they have to make a choice whether they're here or not. And I love the guys that I love all my guys. The guys that are here, we're going to coach them up and teach them and be the best that we can be.
From the end of last season,
what was your kind of full picture assessment of who Jalen Johnson is as a corner in your defense?
Smart, athletic, good feet. Starting off, we showed the ability to tackle. But the one thing that shows up the most is he understands football. He really understands football. And so he sees the big picture and the ability to not just see the big picture. Sometimes when guys do that, they miss some of the details. But he does both.
That's Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams this hour, brought to you by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Good that he can read. That's good.
That's nice bonus.
That's an action. I mean, it's not 100% necessary for a defensive coordinator. You know,
probably helpful through the years.
Coverages. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That guy, make him like the welcomer at Hallis Hall. We have the best trainers. We have the best dietitians. This is all good. Everything's good. We are the best. Everything is star spangled awesome. Very positive man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look at the trick bag the NFL puts these people in because of the negotiations and the voluntary nature of these things. And Alan Williams has to dance around it. And a guy that we all think the world of in terms of Jalen Johnson, some people are going to now question because it's such an awkward thing. You think they would have fixed this by now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a thing that the players get it as a win. Because they want to play less, right? Like, they want to make as much money as they can and work less, like everybody. And the owners are willing to concede it because it doesn't actually take anything away from revenue. So that's how we get here, right? That's how you talk to old coaches. They say, why don't we have two-a-days anymore? Why don't we have padded practices? Because those are like wins for the players that don't cost the league money. That's how we get here.
And it's one of those things that's a win for the players but doesn't help them look any good. And the owners are like, sure, okay, fine. You guys can take a PR hit on that.
Yeah, but nobody holds it against them when they all show up and if they play well. It doesn't, you know what I mean? These are the types of things that get forgotten about. Let's skip ahead to Justin Fields and the improvement here. coaches and players noticing what Fields is. Cody Whitehair, though, also talks about moving back to center, the draft pick, little chunk here from Cody Whitehair as the elder statesman, not only on the offensive line, but really the team.
Hey, Cody, what do you think about being back at Fields?
Yeah, you know, I like it. I was notified a little bit earlier on in the off season, so it was nice to know, and was able to get a little bit more comfortable with it, and I feel good now. So I'm excited about it. I've kind of done this my whole career. Like, it started when I was at K-State. You know, they moved me all around. I was playing tackle, I was playing guard. You know, this, and this. So you know, I'm used to it, and you know, I've always been a team first guy. Wherever I can help the team, you know, that's what I'm going to do. It's kind of like riding a bike. I know there at first I was having some issues as far as consistency of the snap, you know, but I feel like I'm past that. I feel like I'm in a good spot. And, you know, I just think the experience there before has helped me do what I'm doing today.
What have been your impressions of Darnell Wright in terms of the rookie coming and joining the first time?
Yeah, you know, a good player, athletic player, big strong guy. Very well in run and pass. You know, like I said, he's a big guy. He can anchor on a bowl and get movement at the point of attack. So, you know, that's what we want. And, you know, he's doing a nice job right now.
You've been through a lot in this building, a lot of different coaches, a lot of regimes. What are your feelings, kind of the direction of this thing now, kind of look toward the future?
Yeah, there's a different feel this year. You know, everybody's really hungry this year. You know, guys came in and, you know, look great, working hard. You know, so we like where we're at. And obviously we're going to continue to get better. But it's nice that we have most of our team here, you know, through this voluntary phase to get things rolling on the right foot.
What specifically has been different about Justin? His offense and his command and his process?
Yeah, I just think him being more comfortable, you know, from certain reads, certain, you know, passes that he's seen before, certain coverages, you know, it all ties together, and he's doing really well right now. You know, he's very demanding in the huddle, and his leadership is just taking the next step as well. So, you know, really excited to see him this year.
It's all good, Spiegs.
Yeah, man.
That's your squad. Don't plan that January vacation.
I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm not even planning the first week of February vacation. Although I probably
you're leaving the Super Bowl open.
I'm going to leave the entire slate open. I think is the plan as of right now. Although let's see how it looks the first couple weeks. I thought that was a good call by you. As long as there's enough familial flexibility that week before the Super Bowl, that's probably a call I can make after week two or week three.
There you go. If Fields look special, leave it open.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're sputtering, go ahead and book that Pro Bowl weekend trip.
Yeah,
I like it.
I think so.
All right, let's hear the coaches and what they're saying, because I'm interested in how much they're going to hype up the quarterback. Alan Williams, defensive coordinator, on going up against this new and improved Justin Fields.
Alan, when you look across the field to the other side of the football, because you study quarterbacks and how to defeat them, defend them, what stands out differently maybe about Justin? It's early, but
yeah, I like your first word, defeat. Yeah, so that means that we're on the winning side, not just defend. But yeah, Justin, a couple of things: leadership, because that's what you want in your quarterback. I see good decision making. That's what you want in your quarterback. I see improved accuracy. That's what you want in your quarterback, and how fast he's processing. So that's also the, you know, in my mind, what you want in your quarterback. And from day one last year to right now, from my standpoint, and I'm not a quarterback guru whatsoever, but I see how he's grown from last year to this year, and practice by practice by practice, he's growing. So you have to be encouraged when you see those things.
And now let's hear from Matt Eberflus on Justin Fields.
Coach Allen was saying earlier that from his vantage point as defensive coordinator, he sees Justin processing faster and better accuracy. How do you see that in OTAs? How does that come up? Does it show up on film after practice, or is it detectable when you're out there?
You know? Yeah, I think the latter. I think it is detectable when you're out there. You can see him going through his reads quicker, reading the coverages on the snap. and processing of where to go with the football. And again, it's been working with his footwork, you know, and his release. And he's been doing a great job with all those things. And we're excited where he is right now.
And is some of that to be expected in year two? And if so, how do you measure kind of what's above and beyond just natural progression that he knows?
Yeah, I think some of it is expected just from the experience of last year. But I would say this, that no one's worked harder than him in this offseason. Starting in February, you know, was working on his own, studying different quarterbacks and really understanding of what he needed to improve on, you know, given from the coaches, from Janoco and Luke and myself, to be able to really take that next step. And he's worked his tail off since that point.
Who do you study?
You have to ask him.
These coaches are never going to say anything interesting. It's never going to happen.
I mean, I think Alan Williams talking about a guy who looks more comfortable and a guy who is owning it a little bit more with every practice that he sees as a defensive coordinator, that had some value to me, had a little bit of value to me in hearing Justin be that way. It gave me a little boost to hear that. But not
Eberflus. All right, what's the production? What are we going to see for Ruben right now?
We're going to see Newsies Jr., in the Chicago Public Schools middle school production with my son in a small role, and we'll see if he...
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
Yeah, oh, you bet. You bet.
What role? Is he one of the newsies?
He's not, actually. He's one of the henchmen for the villain going after the newsies, trying to price gouge them out of the business.
One of the roles they make up for some kids. Hey, you're a tree.
Dude,
no small parts.
I really want to go back and read Newsies after I see Newsies Jr. to see what the adaptation skills were like, you know, see the choices that were made.
Well, they're just smaller speaks.
I don't think it's only that everyone is a little bit smaller. I think to your point, they added a bunch of roles that kids could play and took
What's
out
his process? Is he a method actor?
He's I'll let you know. He's okay.
Has he been harassing people on the street? Just preparing himself
for harassment? No, but he's been practicing the lines, and apparently some went wrong in the dress rehearsal. So you know what they say: bad dress, good performance. Danny, that's what they say.
That is what they say. Well, enjoy that. We will talk to you tomorrow. I'll talk to these guys about whatever we decide to do, plus whatever happened with the White Sox man, Lance Lynn and Shohei Ohtani and the series. We'll get into it coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
We're Spigs.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
High fly ball off the bat of Ohtani. Robert is back for it at the wall. That is gone. Shohei again. It's his second straight day with a homer. A two-run blast off Lance Lynn, and the Angels have a 4-1 lead. Oh, man, this one is going a long way. Shohei with his second today, a rocket. Two homers, that one 478 feet.
We're watching Babe Ruth. You being Babe Ruth.
He's good. And Lance Lynn... the problems continue for him. The fastball that doesn't move, the old dreaded straight ball that gets drilled. The second one from Shohei was, 482 feet? It's just unbelievable that he's also one of the best pitchers in the American League. Cool to see him up close and personal. Obviously, not as cool with what he did to the Sox. Feel like you guys kind of talked around it a little bit, Shane, you and Spiegs. I don't know if you were just entirely mocking me for the I'd be fine if I go to the game and see a no-hitter against my team's point because it's historic. Would you be okay seeing Shohei Ohtani hit a homer against your team and still say you had a good day at the ballpark even if they lost because of that homer?
I had a great day on Monday when Shohei hit a bomb and I had an awesome, incredible experience at the ballpark, yeah.
But
no problem
also,
because one home run.
That day
run,
was Liam Day, though.
But still, even if it wasn't Liam Day, one home run is not an example of pure dominance of one team against the other. Even if it was a game-winning home run, doesn't matter. It's a home run. If that's one instance that ruined my team for that night as opposed to 27 outs of zero success, no.
Okay, would you rather see if Shohei Ohtani was up, there's a runner on second, White Sox were up 4-3.
Okay.
Would you rather him strike out or hit a walk-off home run?
Of course I'd rather him strike out.
Okay.
But, yeah. I mean, we're comparing what do I want to compare? We're comparing moldy bread to fresh bread. You know? You can't compare. They're two similar things. They're the same kind of thing. They're a loss. But it's moldy bread to fresh bread.
But Shohei Ohtani is baseball history. He is unique.
Okay.
He is singular.
Sure.
So I would think it'd be very cool to be at a game to see him hit a walk, to be there today. Yes, your team loses, but Shohei Ohtani hits two home runs. You can tell your grandkids one day, I saw the best player of a generation hit two home runs.
No, because there's probably going to be 100 instances in his career that he has a multi-home run game.
I don't know about that, but...
Yeah, that math doesn't, yeah.
How many does he have right now? Maybe like 14 or 15?
I don't know the answer to that. But I mean, there's 300-something no-hitters in baseball history. And that would be really cool to say you were at one of those 300. It still is a rare thing.
He's got 13.
13 multi-home run games.
Yeah.
See, I think that I would apply the same logic and say that to see a singularly great athlete like that, where it's still just one of 162, but to say I saw it, I was there. Like, I was at Barry Bonds' last multi-home run game. By the way, HBO came out, and the people that were involved in the OJ.
Wait, what'd you say? 30? What'd you call it, dude? Did you dead name Max?
Dude, we call it Max now.
Oh, my
God.
What's
wrong with you, dude?
Dude, that's Max, bro.
My bad. On Max.
Max, brought to you by HBO.
Max, brought to you by HBO.
HBO's like, hey, how great was that Succession finale? That's our show. We're HBO. I mean, we're Max. We're Max.
We're Max now. Going great, Max.
I can't log back in, by the way. I can't remember my password, and it's not sending me the reset link to my email.
It's the same.
No. Like, I can't remember my password.
Oh, then that's a bigger problem.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, dude.
Well, I mean, can you remember your email address?
No. It's not sending the reset link to my email.
That's so Max.
I can't watch Love and Death right now. Tandy, I'll be two episodes behind on Love and Death.
Another reason not to cut the cord, you could just go right into your Xfinity.
I'm sorry, I don't have infinite money. You know how expensive cable is, dude?
It's expensive. It's very expensive.
This guy's watching cable from his in-ground pool over there.
It's a good life. It's a good life. Man, you were feisty today. This 1 hour radio.
Woo!
Can't wait to
excited see to be doing up. Radio, baby, the way I love it!
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks to Spiegs for doing two of the three segments today.
Yeah, Barry Bonds documentary. It's coming on Max. Max.
That's right. I'm just saying, I was at his last multi-home run game of his career. It was cool.
Let's go see Newsies Jr.
Oh, my God. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream, Gabe Ramirez and Big Ant Heron taking you up until 9 o'clock tonight. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Thank you, sir. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
I'm on it. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.